And let's see here. 1 Peter chapter 3. We're going to read verse 1, and then we're going to read verse 7. And then talk about some things here by way of conflict. Amen. All right. Read together with me verse number 1, chapter 3 of 1 Peter. Here we go. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may with. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Father, speak to our hearts tonight as we talk a little bit more about conflict, Lord. I pray that you would give us just the hearts to hear, the minds to obey, but most of all, Lord, the wills to do the will of God. We thank you, Lord. Love you for being a great God to us. Watch over us tonight in our discussion. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we've talked about conflict, how to resolve Christian and church conflicts. We gave you last time the first page there, some definitions there. We dealt with some of the definitions out of the dictionary as well. Here, the author says that conflicts is this here. Notice what it says there. It's not a war, but it can become one. Dictionary states that conflict is a clashing of views, opinions, preferences, and statements. It means also to meet in opposition, to be antagonistic. And so there were some helpful thoughts there about conflicts. We already came to the realization we're going to have conflicts. It's there. Last time on Wednesday, we covered conflicts, you and another. So we went down that section here, so we're not going to repeat that. Now we're on the far right, conflicts, you and your mate. That's between a husband and a wife. But before we talk about that, we've got over 100 years of experience here in marriage. Let's talk about this first. Why do we have conflicts in marriage? Give me some input. Why do we have conflicts in marriage? Tasha? Dealing with imperfect people? Okay, Ms. Dawson? Oh, no, Faith. Disagreements? Okay, Joshua? Hey. I thought you were on our side. You're supposed to be on the men folks' side here. How dare you incriminate us? Yes. And that's true. That's very true. Anybody else input? Why are there conflicts? Ms. Austin? God made us uniquely different, different by design. Amen. Praise the Lord. That is true. Mariah? We are sinners. That's at the top of my list. Amen. We are sinners. And think about this as well. We're different backgrounds. I mean, just imagine if Antoinette married someone from Rhode Island, East Coast. Here she's an Arizona girl. You know, are they going to be different? Yes, they are going to be very, very different in the way they talk, in the way they see things, the way they perceive, in the temperature of the city. Amen. So there are going to be some differences. If you marry someone from deep down south, Arkansas, or some one of those places deep back in the woods, and you're one of these up north city folk, amen, it's going to be a difference in you. You know, Mrs. White was raised in the city. And then Pastor White was out on the cornfield, or where was that? Sharecropper? Where was that? He was out in the fields, and so, you know, they're going to see things differently, you know. He had a field experience. She had city experience. Amen? Yep. Oh, born in the city. And you went through some convulsions, didn't you? Anytime you're from a city and you go to country, you in bad shape, amen. It's got to be the other way around. Yes, sir. Amen. It makes a difference. When I went to go preach in St. Vincent out there, and everything was outdoors. I mean, I thought, this is backwoods. I said, I don't want to live here anymore. There's no air conditioning. There's no screens on the window. It was just like this. That was my window, and I saw outside, and the mosquitoes saw me inside. That's not good. I said, Lord, I don't want to live like this. But guess what? They live like that. And they're okay with it. So coming from a different background, you're going to see things differently. What they saw as important and valuable, I didn't see as valuable as important. I valued air conditioning. They could care less about air conditioning. I thought, I'm melting. Amen. And so it's going to be different. So when you deal with a couple here, there's going to be two people coming from two totally different backgrounds sometimes. Sometimes similar backgrounds, but no two people grew up the same way. There's going to be some differences in their life. And so there's going to be some conflict there. That's the why. Let's talk about some of the causes. What are some causes of conflict in families? Let's be specific. What are some conflicts that we have? Mrs. White. And let's piggyback on that. If there are disagreements, what might some of these disagreements be over? Antoinette? Huh? That's at the top of my list. Finances. That's at the top of my list. Finances. How are we going to spend? Normally, there's somebody in the family that's a budgeter and somebody in the family that's a spender. There's somebody in the family that's frugal. There's somebody in the family that's always on eBay and all the rest of the bays out there. And so, you know, there's going to be a conflict if we don't agree on how to spend money. One of the things that attracted me to my wife, she was very frugal. She didn't really want to go shopping a lot. I thought, yes, go to the mall once in a blue moon. It was just to hold hands. That's about it. But we're not shopping for anything. We're just going to hold hands. And when she wants something, it's normally something that she needs, but she's got expensive taste. It's got to be quality. So it'll cost, so she makes up for the other times. Amen. But it's quality stuff. I'll go shop for something and say, honey, that's going to fall apart in 2 days as soon as you wash it. I said, but it's cheap. Amen. It doesn't cost much. She said, but you're going to buy five of them. Amen. And so she is the one that balances me out with those things and how to get the budget to working right. I just think, okay, we've got this and we're not spending this unless it's a cartoon or candy. Then we can spend. Amen. If it's cartoon or candy, then we can spend. If it's ice cream, we can spend. But otherwise, if it breaks down, we'll just have to milk it until it gets right. I'm that type, amen. Yes, Pastor White. The birth order. As a matter of fact, I've got a study on that. When I do marriage counseling, it talks about that. Putting two firstborns together oftentimes can be conflict. Putting two lastborns together sometimes can be conflict. Putting two middle children together sometimes can be conflict. There's got to be an offset there some way, because if they're both firstborns, what are they oftentimes? Selfish, in charge, leaders, domineering. And if you got two of those people together, guess what? That makes a disaster in a marriage relationship if somebody doesn't submit. And so those things have to be considered. If they're both the last born, what are they normally? Spoiled, the baby, amen. Normally they're spoiled or the baby. When you say that. Now, it's not always true, but oftentimes it is. The last born gets away with murder. I mean, they do. I mean, they didn't have to do the chores. And, you know, my little baby sister, I go back home all the time. She said, well, y'all dumped all y'all chores on me. I said, yeah, but you got away with murder, too. I said, so, you know, it kind of offset. And so when you have those people getting married, that can be conflict too, because now you see things. Two people can't be in charge in the marriage. You can't have both. And you can't have two people that are spoiled. And you can't have two people that are both passive. Guess what? Nothing will get done. Amen. So that matters as well. So there are those things there. Finances. What are some other causes for conflict in the church, in the marriages? One is very obvious. How are you going to raise your children? Children's conflict. One wants them to stay up until midnight. The other one wants them to go to bed at 8 o'clock at night. One says no snacks. The other one says all the sweets you can eat. One says you're going to be on a vegan diet. Next one says all the hot dogs you can eat. Amen. And so there's got to be some coming together in child rearing. Otherwise, the children will find the side that they want to be on, and they will attack the other side. Yes, Ms. Dawson. Conflict with movie choices. Amen. There are some cartoons that I watch that my wife sees no sense in them at all because they're actually senseless. Amen. They really are. And I just like to sit there and say, he bonged him on the head. And she looks at it like, this is unproductive. This is unproductive. And me and the kids are over there, bellies. Woo, you see that boy, Tom? He ran him over the steamroller. And she's like, I see no humor in this. She laughs at us because we're on the couch rolling, amen? And so that can be a conflict as well. Yes, ma'am. Yes. Amen. I've got that one here as well. Others, be it girlfriends or guy friends that you hang out with. We don't like to say boyfriend when it comes to guys. That just don't sound right. Amen. Antoinette. Amen, amen. It is, and that creates conflict. What are the conflicts? Mariah? Apparel, what we wear, amen. Yeah. How many of y'all exercise and work out? How many care about how you look when you exercise and work out? How many it doesn't matter how you look when you work out because you're going to get sweaty and dirty anyway? Now, if your spouse wants you to look a certain way and you don't care, or you care, or you say, well, I want to look, you know, I got my Under Armours on and, you know, I'm going to go out here and we're going to look good. And then, you know, well, why are you going to sweat? And then the other one says, well, you know, I don't want to wear that. I want to wear it. Yes, and that can be conflict as well. Amen. How about this? How many of y'all are sticklers for ironed clothes? And maybe your spouse could care less. Just, it's wash and wear. That's why they call it wash and wear. You wash it and you wear it. It doesn't, you know. It's called permanent press because it's permanently pressed, and so you don't have to press it. And so, you know, and so you get it, and boom. And the other one's like, no, you look like a bag of clothes. You're trying, no. And that can be conflict as well. Amen. Y'all love it. Permanent press, that's what it means, permanent press. It's permanently pressed. Amen. Yes, Ms. White. Amen, brother. Now let's just chase that rabbit for a minute. When the husband goes around, who does he represent? The wife. And what do people think? She don't care about him. Girl, she let him go out of house looking like that. And that's what they start saying. And us men, we don't I'm just going to do something, but don't come around me. They're going to identify, associate you with me. I didn't do my job, and you make me look bad. Pastor White. There's another one, attention. That was on my note here as well. When we don't pay attention to the other one. Did you notice my earrings? Ooh. What color did I wear? Ooh. Did you notice my shoes? Ooh. Faith gets me all the time. Daddy, you like my new whatever? Ooh. She's training me well. Amen. I'm like, gotta be more observant. Let me take a snapshot of y'all every day. Amen. Oh, yeah, you had on such and such that day, amen. When we don't pay attention to our spouses, ladies need attention. And there's conflict when we don't pay attention to our spouses or our daughters. Faith, she's going to get her, Daddy, how do I look? You know, lady, wives are more subtle. Did you notice that I had on such and such? You know, Faith, like, you see? How could I forget?
What? You didn't notice
it? So you know, I mean, early on in our marriage, my mother-in-law got on Mrs. Dawson bad. I'm trying to watch football, Chicago Bears of all people. And she want me to tell y'all, okay. She want me to tell y'all. Man. But anyway, I wasn't paying attention to her. I was paying more attention to the Bears. And so she made me pay for that. Amen. So I'll just leave it at that. Amen. And so I said, it's only 3 hours. That was early on. All right. Here's something else that has come up late. Conflict. Video games. Oh, yes, Layla. Well, what you do? Yes, ma'am. And all of this is stuff that we probably shouldn't be doing. Amen. Yes, Terrell. Hobbies, that's on my list as well. Hobbies. Sometimes a lady can spend more time sewing and knitting and crocheting or whatever and not spend time. The husband can spend more time working on cars or working on computers or whatever. Amen. Yes, Faith? Spending more time with the boys instead of the wife. That's true. Amen. That could be possible. Not that I do that. Amen. Yes, Antoinette. And that can be a source of conflict, especially with guys now that are want to go, what do you call it, all over the world. How do you call that? They want to play games with this guy who's in Germany or whatever and all this stuff. Call of Duty and some of those games like that where they compete globally. Yes, Jerry? Amen. And that's really sad. So I've got hobbies, I've got friends, I've got video games, other people. Here's one that we didn't mention, job. Job can be a conflict. I've got extra hours, or the husband spends so many hours at the job, or the wife spends so many hours at the job, then they bring the job home, and then they're still working on the job, or they're still in front of the computer. You know, I've got to be very, very cautious of that, because I'm always working on some type of a message or something like that. I'm always on the computer. And I've got to be cautious of that as well, because not only do I work here, I go home and work as well. And so I've got to be careful of that. And so that can be a cause of conflict for me as a preacher or anybody where you're working long hours, whether it's at a job or you're bringing that home. And then you've got family life that needs to kick in as well. And if that family life doesn't kick in, that can be conflict because somebody's going to get neglected. Yes, Faith? Oh, yeah, inappropriate things on the video. That could be a conflict as well. Amen. Web surfing and inappropriate things and chat rooms and stuff like that. That can be something as well. Ms. Natasha.
And that is a big one that I have as well. Us men do not understand the emotional makeup of the woman. And I believe God did that on purpose to help us to pray more for them, because we don't understand that emotional makeup. We don't understand the time of life. We don't understand the time of month. We don't understand the roller coaster. We don't. We've never had to live that nor experience that. So to us, it's black and white. And for the lady, it's not. It's very colorful, very rainbow-ish, amen? And we don't really comprehend that. And so that can cause conflict. By the way, oftentimes when you have a couple that's been married 30 and 40 years and they get a divorce, often it's because of the changes that happen in the lady's emotional life that the man has no clue. The kids are raised, the kids are gone, and there's nobody at home but him and her, and they look at each other crazy like... You know, we've had kids since we were 20, and now here we're 40 and 50, and so what do we do with each other? And then she says, well, I'm going through this. And he's like, well, get over it. And you can't just get over it. And a lot of divorces happen many years afterwards, which is a shame, but it's because we don't comprehend, and that causes conflict. And they want to slam dunk like me, amen. And that is true. We handle it differently, but it is still the same thing. And sometimes the woman can't comprehend that. Why do we need that, whatever it is? It costs an arm and a leg. Why do we need a boat? We don't even know, like water, amen. Why do we need a sports car? We can't drive anymore. We can't see. But still, you know, you have those things that happen. Well, I never could get one when I was young, and so I'm getting one now. What? But you can't go but 20 miles an hour, you know? Like, G2 says, give it to me. I'll speed, amen. Yes, right? Yes, sir. A one-seat car just for them. Well, it's got to be at least two seats, honey. Unless they put all their stuff in the other seat. Amen. All right. So with all these conflicts that we have, we know why we're sinners or we're different. We know the causes, and there's so many causes. Let me ask this question. Is any of it scriptural? No, none of it's scriptural. Is any of it biblical? No, it's not. And yet people fight and fuss and divorce over it, and none of it is biblical or scriptural. It's all preferential. It's all things that you and I desire or don't desire, like or don't like. It's all a part of our upbringing. Some of it, yes, is physical and health issues and health related, and we still don't understand it. But none of it is biblical, and none of it is worth fighting over and divorcing over. Amen? And so when you look at this, you and your mate, I want you to drop down to the bottom here over some helpful thoughts here, first of all. And then we'll kind of go back up through some scriptures real quick. Notice at the bottom, conflicts you and your mate. It says, number one, there is no perfect marriage. Is there a perfect marriage? No. The only perfect marriage was Adam and Eve, and that one got ruined as well. Amen. And notice what it says, a just is a must in marriage. What does that mean, a just is a must? Compromise, yes. We have to change. By the way, as your children go up, do you adjust to your children? Yes. Yeah. Can you imagine, Joshua, if I said, goo, goo, gay, gay, Joshua, you want a bottle, Joshua? No, I've got to adjust as he grows. I've got to adjust. And it's the same way with couples. We have to adjust. Now, men is going to be tougher for us because we're not ladies. And their emotional state is different from ours. And ladies, it's going to be different for you. You've got to be patient with us because we don't think like you guys. And so it's got to be this give and take, this adjust. And ladies, you have to constantly tell yourself, he's not a woman, he doesn't understand. He's not a woman, he doesn't understand. You know why? He don't. We don't. And I'll be the first one to admit, the minute I think I've got my wife figured out, she changes. And I think... It took me this long to figure out. Now you changed, amen. I get on faith all the time. I say, you are too young to be changing. I am not standing for that, amen. Don't do this to me, amen. Adjust is a must in marriage. Good marriages are built on problems that have been solved. Notice that. good marriage is built on problems that have been solved. Maybe one biblical marriage that didn't have problems. They all had problems, every last one of them. I mean, Abraham, Noah, I mean, you go down the line, David, they all had problems. And so the It depends on what the issue is. Two shall become as one. Do not remain two. Notice this: a house is built with hands, but a home is built with hearts. Seek to stay sweethearts. Remember your vows for better, for worse, till death do us part. So, since none of this is doctrinal, and none of this is things that we should divorce over, so what should we do? Ephesians 5:21 knows what it says. Submitting yourselves, what? One to another in the fear of God. Both should submit one to the other. I like what he says here. It is not a matter of who is right, but what is right. You know, so what? You win the argument, but then you lose fellowship with your wife. So it's not about who is right, but what's right. And by the way, at the end of the day, who is always right? Let God be true and every man a liar. Amen. So what is right? Not so much who is right. Both should submit. Amen. Notice what it says down there in verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves to who? Why does the Bible say your own husband? Jared. Exactly. Your spouse is your spouse, your own husband's. Ladies are normally, I'm going to say this gingerly, normally willing to follow a leader. Normally willing to follow a leader. But if the husband doesn't lead, what is she going to do? Her tendency is to follow the one who will lead, which could be somebody else. And that's the danger. And the Bible says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. God made the lady in such a way where she is wanting to submit to a leader. She's wanting her husband to lead. But if he doesn't, she will either A, lead herself, or B, find someone that she can follow. And both of those can be dangerous to her, because God made the husband the protector. Notice what he says down there in verse number 23. For the husband is what? The head of the wife, even as Christ is the what? Head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto who? Christ. The parallel then says, so let the wives be to their own husbands in what? And everything. So he has put the husband there to be that head or that protector. So if they should submit themselves to one another, when should the husband take the leadership and not give in? Something not against, or the scripture, biblical issues. The husband should always take the lead. It is amazing how you look at churches across the country, and oftentimes when the problem happens and the family leaves the church, oftentimes the mama ain't happy with something. And oftentimes it ain't scriptural. Excuse my grammar, but it's not scriptural. Amen. It's a preference. She didn't like this woman's shirt, or she didn't like this woman's dress, or this woman won't shake her hand, or she doesn't get along with that woman, and so I want to find me a new job. And it's amazing how it happens over and over again. Brother Neil, am I right? The woman takes charge and says,
"Now, I'm sick of this now. Now, Jimmy, we're going to leave that church. And are you with me or not?"
"Yeah, I'm with you."
Fooey. And they come in and fabricate a story to the preacher. "Well, preacher, you know, we're not growing here." Because you're in sin. Stop letting your wife run things. You're in sin. Stand up. Be a man. Take charge. Be authoritative and say, "Look, honey, we're not leaving because somebody didn't shake your hand." But oftentimes that's what happens. And so he says, hey, the husband is there for that reason. Verse 25, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." Why? "That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy without blemish." So, in other words, just like he just mentioned in 25, 26, 27, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. "He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church." So he gives that parallel. The husband should be responsible. Notice what it says down there in the middle of your page there. The husband is responsible for the spiritual direction of the family. That's his job. That's not her job. That's his job. By the way, mama shouldn't wake up and say, "We're going to church." Guess who should say that? Daddy should say that. Mama shouldn't say, "Honey, are we going to Bible study?" Daddy should say that. Daddy should be the one to say, "We're going soul winning. We're going to read our Bible. We're going to do these things." That's not mama's job. But oftentimes, if the man doesn't do it, guess who ends up doing it by default? The wife. Or it doesn't get done. Amen. Notice the husband is responsible for the spiritual direction of the family, but, circle that but, in non-spiritual issues, all should have a voice in opinion. Does that mean that the children should have a voice and opinion as well as whether they're going to go to church or not? No, because that's scriptural. That's Bible. That's biblical. And so they don't have a voice in that. Notice what it says, as the husband loves, the wife responds. I know that's true. As I love up on my honey and I'm sweet to her, she responds. But if I'm mean and callous and cold-blooded to her, guess what I get back in response? Same thing. Not that I do that. All right. As the husband loves, the wife responds, we love the Lord because he first loved us. So when you look at this, there is no perfect marriage. And when it comes to these conflicts that we're going to have in marriage, they're going to be there and they're going to be real. They're going to be real. But we have to understand, husband, we've got to take our rightful place and we've got to minimize conflicts. Guess what, husbands? You can put to rest a lot of conflicts. How? How can the husband put to rest a lot of conflict in relationship? Well, sometimes that may be necessary according to verse 21. Amen. That might work for a while. They go around all the time. Yes, Jared. Bring the Bible out. Amen. What else? What can we do? And the answer is actually in 1 Peter. Let's go back over there. 1 Peter chapter 3. His wife says, submit, amen. Sometimes that may be necessary. All right, 1 Peter chapter number 3. And how can the husband decrease some of the conflict? Notice verse number 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to, what's that word? Knowledge. That word is the same word that comes with science, which means to know. We've got to learn our wives. We've got to learn what they like, what they dislike. We can put to rest a lot of conflict by learning them. Young boys, learn your moms now. Jeremiah, learn your... Josiah, learn your mom. Joshua, learn your mom. Terrell, learn your mom. G2, learn your mom. Boys, learn your moms. Why am I saying boys, learn your moms? So you will know how to learn your wife. I know my sons, they look at the faith and mom sometimes, they think, well, why are they so different from us? They're ladies. One's a young lady, one's an older lady, but they're ladies. They're not like us. I said, honey, it's a woman thing. You got to deal with these things. It's a woman thing. You know, you just got to understand this. You know, work with this process. You know, they're like, well, why can't they be like us? That would defeat the purpose. We don't want them to be like us. Trust me. Amen. But he says, learn it. A lot of conflicts could be really cut off at the pass if we begin to learn our wives more. The problem is we often don't take the time. We often just don't take the time. When we were in the courting scene, we was chasing after them. Oh, yeah, we wanted to learn them. Then we caught them. We said, okay, I got you now. Okay, you stay at home, and that's it. And we've got to spend the time to learn them because they're constantly changing. And so Peter says, hey, look, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor, notice that, unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. The weaker vessel is what they are using a word for, china, or something that's a precious vessel. He says, I need to give honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Ladies, what do you do with your fine china, your fine vases? You put them up someplace special where they can be seen. And so what he's saying is, husbands, as you lift them up like you would that china, that china gold plate or that precious porcelain vase, as you put it over there and as you make sure you take care of it, she will be fine. But oftentimes we don't do that. We treat them like, you know, a plastic cup or, you know, a throwaway dish or something like that. We don't appreciate what they do. And that's not honoring, you know. When you have paperware and plasticware, what is it made for? Throw away. And that is not the word that's used here for the weaker vessel. The word for weaker vessel is dealing with a fine porcelain or something that's very, very expensive. And he says, give honor unto the wife. Treat them special as unto the weaker vessel and as being heirs together of the grace of life. They have the same salvation that we have. He said that your prayers be not hindered. He said if you do that, you won't get your prayers hindered. But if you don't do that, you're not in agreement. And how can two walk together except they be agreed, Amos said. And so your prayers together will be hindered. And so you've got to make sure that you're not in conflict with each other. So a lot of conflict can be resolved if the man does his job. You know, you say, well, what about the woman? The man is still the spiritual leader. It's his job to put the fires out, not to put the fuel on them. Amen. Kids do enough of that by themselves. Amen. So it's our job to make sure that we help diffuse the conflict and put the fire out. Young boys, start learning your moms now. Learn what they like. Learn what they dislike. Learn what pleases them. Learn what displeases them. Learn their moods. Know when they're playing. Know when they're not playing. Know when they're serious. Know when they're not serious. Know when they're in the mood and when they're not in the mood. I can say stuff to my kids, call them rockheads and boneheads, and they're ha, 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 ha. My wife called them rockhead and bonehead. They are absolutely hurt to the core. And my wife, she starts joking with them. She'll say something, man, hey, call me that name. Your daddy call you that name all the time. It's different coming from you. It's a woman thing, I guess. I don't know. I call them the names all the time. But mama's not supposed to be that way. She's supposed to be sensitive to their needs and kind. I'm supposed to be hard on them. But mom, you got to learn them. What makes them tick? Amen. You know, I had a very, very good relationship with my mom growing up, and so I got a chance to learn my mom, and I could pick with her and play with her, but I knew when not to pick with her and when not to play with her. I knew when I crossed the line. There were certain things I knew I could do and I couldn't do, and it has aided me in dealing with my wife. Am I perfect? Have I arrived? No, I have not, but I'm still learning. But it behooves the young boys to learn. By the way, I like this statement. We're going to close with this statement. Good marriages are built on problems that have been solved. We are going to have conflict. We are going to have problems. But with the Holy Spirit and this book, we have the ability to overcome. Yes, Ms. White? Amen. Amen. And that will cut down on a lot of conflict. But and husbands, again, I say this. You and I, by learning our wives, can cut down on a lot of conflict. I'm not going to say all. But we can cut down on quite a bit if we would just learn our wives, understand. And oftentimes, ladies just want to be heard. They want to get their, at least just listen to what I'm saying. You don't have to agree with it. You don't even have to do it, but at least hear me out. I want to do this. We're like, we ain't doing that. Well, can I at least like, no. But it's, I just wanted to explore. Amen. Husbands, by nature, are fixers. And I've learned a long time ago, you cannot fix ladies' emotions because they're not broken. They're not broken. They are what they are. Ladies' emotions are not broken. Just because they're not like ours doesn't mean they're broken. And I had to learn that the hard way. I thought, well, just be like me. That's not smart. There's two of me in the house, that's a nightmare. You know, G2's the closest thing there, amen. Sometimes he scares me, amen. Like, am I like that? Amen. But they're not broke. And so we can't fix something that's not broken. We just have to pray, and again, as we submit one to another, as we dwell with them according to knowledge, and as we give honor unto life as a weaker vessel, God will be honored, the marriages will be sweet, and we can build on the problems and the conflicts that we have. God is able to help us, amen, and to be conflict-free is a fantasy world, but to get through the conflict is reality world. We're not the same people, we're different. But we're one in Christ, and that's what gives us the victory, having the same mind, the mind of Christ, to get through any obstacles that may be in our way. Amen. May God help us with our conflicts this week as husbands and wives, learning one another and getting through this. And boys, learn your moms. Amen. Father, thank you once again for your goodness. Thank you that we can look at conflicts between us and our mates. And Lord, we know it's doable with the power of God and the power of Christ. And Lord, we see in Scripture what should be happening. Spiritually, we should be leaders. And ladies should submit. Lord, at the same time, we are submitting one to another in non-scriptural areas. Help us to, Lord, get past the conflicts that can cause more problems and make the situation a lot worse. We thank you for loving us. Thank you for the power of God that you've given us through the Holy Spirit of God. And Lord, help us to get, Lord, to the place where we agree to disagree at times and sometimes submit to things that maybe we would not necessarily do ourselves. But Lord, let the other person be the individual you call them to be and let them grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you for the families represented here today. And thank you for the husbands and wives that have stuck it out over the many years, Lord, and have grown and built upon the problems and the conflicts that you have put in their lives. They've grown stronger for it. Help the children to see some healthy relationships, Lord, that they may, too, go out and, Lord, live a Christ-honoring life with their mate that they find down the road. We thank you for loving us, Lord. Thank you for the discussion. And bless now and give us safety in our travel. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Pastor Weiss got our announcement. Not much going on, but I praise God for what is going on. Pastor White. Move Miss White out of the city into the country. Shame on you. Ooh.